In this episode, Brandon Kling joins us, and we talk about Alcoholics Anonymous. Uh-oh. Was I supposed to say his last name?
Welcome to the What I Would Tell My 22-Year-Old Self podcast. This is Patrick Kling, and...
this is Adam Rotella.
Adam, how the hell are you today?
You know what, man? I am feeling great today. It's 100 degrees out. I love how we start every show talking about how the weather is. And how are you doing out in Orlando right now, my man?
It is oppressively hot in Orlando. I am inside in the AC. And, you know, and I just poured myself a cocktail.
Uh-huh.
And I got me thinking about
our next guest. I am opening myself a beer.
Yeah.
You know what? And let me preface this, too, to everyone that listens with us, because sometimes it seems like you and I are just drinking on every episode. But let me just say this to everyone out there. You know, Patrick and I, we're very busy guys. So yeah. When we do have time to do a podcast, we record a few in a row. So this is our, like, let go time. We're going to relax. We're going to chat with each other. We're not drinking every fucking day.
No, definitely not every day. All right. So I wanted to bring on our guest because today we're going to talk about a thing called Alcoholics Anonymous.
Okay.
And if you've listened to the Rock Bottom Cabin episode number 7, some have said it is the peak moment of our podcast. We peaked early, Adam.
Well, I think that's only because it was the most real podcast that we've done so far. And I think that we're actually hitting the stride, I feel. I think that we're falling into our rhythm pretty well.
Awesome. So in that episode, we talk about our journey into AA or your journey into AA a little bit. But we didn't really talk about the whole idea of AA, like what it's all about. And we're going to keep this anonymous, but just our perceptions of it. So I wanted to bring on our friend, Brandon K. He's been on the podcast in one of our Vegas episodes, and we talked about him during our Texas trip. So, Brandon, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Brandon, are you eating? What the hell are you doing over there, man?
I'm not. I'm just breathing.
What's all this rumbling?
I got
the microphone's very close to my face.
Jeez, okay. Say hello, Brandon. This is your
hello.
Last chance to get off the podcast.
Oh, great. I'm Brandon. I'm with you guys having a flavored white grapes water. Cheers.
Cheers to you, sir.
So Brandon's been my cousin for almost 32 years. Isn't that correct?
32, yeah.
Almost 33.
Yeah. Almost 33, yeah.
Or, fuck, yeah, I told you it was hard to not mention current events. By the time this airs, I might actually be 33. Like, I told you, it's hard. All right. So, Brandon, Adam, I have never been to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting as someone who has claimed to be an alcoholic. You both have.
Yes.
And you know, we've sat in meetings together. We've held each other's hands. We've prayed to a higher power together. We've never done that, but
that is all true.
But I wanted to talk to Brandon. He was Brandon was the first to get involved with AA. Brandon, what was your first involvement with AA? How did you hear about it? How did it happen, and why did it happen?
So this AA story is very Patrick-centric.
As they all are, yes.
Yes, in that Patrick's dad is in the program. And would kind of when I
well
was,
there goes the anonymous part.
you guys have mentioned that. Okay,
he has a whole scroll. He's gonna read it off a little later of all of his friends in AA.
So when I was kicked out of my house for having a kegger when I was 17, Patrick's dad was guiding me into, like, you know, you're an alcoholic. You should be looking into these meetings. Up until the point, you know, just. I was on a rampage up until I was 22, and I told Patrick, I need to go to therapy. Like, my life is unmanageable. And, mm-hmm. and Patrick recommended the meetings to me as well. And, you know, as an alcoholic does, I was like, I don't need those meetings. Like, I'm going to do my own thing. Mm-hmm. But I got to the therapist, and the therapist recommended the meetings to me as well. And
let's get into a little bit. Like, it's not just like, you didn't just come out of the womb and just start. Like, how much were you drinking at the time? Like, for a therapist to talk to you for 20 seconds and to say, hey, you need to go to a meeting. So Adam and I have done the balancing wiring act about talking about our own drinking. What was your drinking level on average during that initial 21-year-old, you know, when you were younger, your first time?
My first time, it went okay. I ditched school.
Perfect.
Came back to school, started like screaming at people drunk, like the happiest I've ever been in my life.
How drunk were you? Like what?
That was only like five deep, but it was my first time, so it felt, you know, I was flying, and I had that moment where I was like, this is going to be a problem. I already know.
Your first sip, so okay.
Yeah. the second time, I was in Germany with my parents. And they bought all kinds of different alcohol, and I just drank every single kind. I had no idea what I was doing, and I just vomited all over the hotel room. And
on the carpet and stuff, or like in the bathroom? Were you isolated?
All over the bed.
Oh my god! Oof. Jeez.
Oof.
That's so, when you,
that was my second time drinking.
And how
we're on the second time.
how old were you at the time?
That was 16.
Okay.
17, I was I had a kegger and got arrested.
You gotta tell that. Oh, there's just so many stories here. Okay, we'll have to come back to that one, because that one's just tell the story, because that one's ridiculous what happened.
Well, it's very Patrick centric.
Good. This happens to be a Patrick centric show.
Yes.
So I'm a 17-year-old, you know, degenerate, and was going to have the house free for a couple of days, and Patrick talked me into having a kegger. So we went and I paid someone like $200 for a keg, and they bought me like a $20 keg. They definitely ripped me off.
Was I there for this?
Cheap as shit there is. Patrick's dad told him there's no fucking way you're going to that party. My brother didn't show up either, so I had the idea that I was not going to drink and keep things under control, but as soon as somebody said, hey, we got a keg, I was doing keg stands, you know, within 20 minutes. This is what the life of an alcoholic looks like, people.
Yep. Well, yep. I gotta be honest here, Brandon, like there is having drinking, having a couple experiences, having a kegger, that seems like, let's just say, that's exploring your limitations of alcohol.
Yes. So that's the way I saw it up until it really became a problem. It's like, oh, everybody does that, you know. It's like, right. You have to find your limitations. I kept drinking. I didn't stop after that, so I agreed with you.
Yeah. So you need to tell. So the party. Tell them what happened. You got arrested. Tell them what happened on that, because that was a really fucked up story.
So I'm drunk, and cops knock on the door, and they kind of lure me out to pass the yard.
Yes, past the threshold.
So that they have jurisdiction over me once I'm off my property. They ask me my name. I give them a fake name. I'm Johnny Cochran. they didn't buy it, and pretty soon I'm in the back of the cop car, actually vomiting up Chinese food.
Oh my god!
Wow, sir!
And thrown into the drunk tank and taken to the hospital and then to juvie.
But I mean, I just feel like,
fuck, that is no Benny and the Jets. Let me tell you what. Throwing up in the back of a cop car. What was the what were the police officers' reaction to this?
Like, they see it all the time, honestly.
Yeah. Good lord.
I just don't get what, like, arresting somebody who's at their own house drinking is doing for anybody.
Well, they tried
underage too,
yeah,
right?
Underage. They tried to kick everybody out of my house, but actually then my house was robbed because
they didn't lock the door.
They didn't lock the door, so it was a whole mess. My mom was done with me. I came down to Orange County to start over when I was 17.
Yeah, that's. I just think it's fucked up that they lured you out with nobody taking care of the house, nobody locked it up. Like, that's got to be a liability. Like, I can't imagine that. Like, why? Well, let's have it. All right. So then, what was your drinking like after that, Brandon? Like, give me. Let's go. So we have a few drunken stories, but give me like the average day. What's an average day of drinking for you in those years?
I'm talking over you guys.
No, it's hard. It's okay.
From 17 to 21, you know, I didn't have a lot of access to alcohol, so I would have to rely on older people in my life, and I would go back to my Hemet friends and kind of like just party hardy on the weekends.
Yeah, I'd go back there with you too, but I never really drank, right? I don't remember drinking.
This was like more like late 19. You were busy, and yeah. And I was just going out there by myself. But I'm drinking with my. So control that I didn't have access to alcohol every day. But once I hit 21, I was buying a 6-pack to a 12-pack, trying everything in the store, and I did that. You know, it kind of was even keel until in my around 22. You know, ironically. I got obsessed with a girl, and I started drinking for emotional reasons. Like, oh man, I can't believe she doesn't like me, and I was just like blitzed every day. Mm-hmm. And that's when I went to the psychiatrist, and I made a list of all my problems.
Now wait a minute. Getting blitzed every day. What exactly does that mean? Are we drinking like? Is this the moment where we moved on to bottles?
Yes, I moved on to bottles. This was when I had my own place, and I was just drinking as much as I possibly could, and not caring what the outcome was.
Sure.
Did you stop getting hangovers, or would you just feel like shit, and then you start drinking again?
I always thought that more drinking was a cure for a hangover.
I would say just for me, it's Brandon, true. In the trust tree in the nest, the most alarming thing for me is when you would like wake up at 9 a.m. and crack open a beer.
I know.
I think we've all done that, Patrick.
We've all done that once or twice, but Brandon, it was basically daily.
Yeah.
Well, every time I was with Patrick, it was more of a party vibe. But,
okay.
That makes a lot of sense.
Sure, I guess so. All right. I
more excuses out of me.
Yeah.
So then I made the list. Made the list of all my problems, like, oh, I can't keep a job, and I'm failure, and I'm not good with women. And at the bottom, it was just I use alcohol to deal with my feelings or my problems. And the therapist was in AA, and she said, you know, you should go to a meeting.
So, what was your first meeting like, Brandon?
There's this thing that happens for alcoholics where when you don't have alcohol, you're very shaky.
Yeah.
So I had that at 23. I didn't know what it was at the time. But everybody in the meeting could tell that I was probably shaking and
like very recently sober.
Yeah, reeking of alcohol through the pores. And so there was a lot of concern. You know, people felt for me and gave me the book and just welcomed me.
Mm-hmm.
I also, I guess the other part of the story is that, like, I saw those steps on the wall and I just, like, tried to start taking them just, like, in my first meeting. I was like, all right, who did I hurt? Okay. You know, which is too fast. We're way too fast to do that process. Yes.
Yeah. What was your first reaction? Now, when I've been to AA meetings, I'm always my first time. I was really taken aback by all the hellos and handshakes. I was like, kind of just like, hey, you know, just leave me alone. I just want to figure this shit out. Don't fucking talk to me. What was your reaction to all the friendliness?
Definitely not a fan.
Sure. Yeah.
I avoided it for years. I went the next 3.5 years sober, and I don't say hi to people. I was just hiding in the back of the room. Like,
mm-hmm.
I would go with Adam which Adam is a pleasure at a AA meeting.
I don't know about that. Sure.
And other than like people I knew, him and one other friend, or occasionally Patrick, I didn't talk to anybody or want to get to know anybody at the time.
Sure. So, you know, so overall, next thing you know, and this is basically Brandon K's big episode here. 'Cause
I love it.
I love it as well. So Brandon K, you Then you said you were sober, but you were a dry drunk. You didn't feel like you were actually working the program. And you did it how long? How many years did you do it?
3.5 years.
Yeah.
And Brandon, can you also explain to everyone else out there that doesn't know what that means? What is a dry drunk?
So we have 12 steps. There's 12 of them. And the first one is admitting that you're an alcoholic. And I could take that one. And when I took anniversary chips, you know, you get a chip every year, I would say, you know, all I had to do was work that first step. But there's there's 12 more steps on top of that. The next two steps are about trusting in God, which that was my big obstacle was I'm an atheist. I don't believe in anything. I am in charge of my own world. So I couldn't take their program seriously. And after that, there's a moral inventory, and people get stuck on that one a lot. It's like once you start like having to reflect, and so you're reflecting, then it's hard to look in the mirror, and so
the dry drunk then is someone that used to drink but still has asshole tendencies.
Yes, and I'm going to find other things to get addicted to. I'm going to be addicted to gambling, sex, porn, food. I'm going to just act out my behaviors with different substances.
And how's that gambling addiction working out for you?
I am 1 month sober.
It was great seeing you in Vegas, Brandon.
Yes. So, Brandon, so what was that moment when you started drinking again? So just right on cue, I definitely, Patrick and I took a trip across the country. I don't know if he's mentioned that before. It was like a 3-month trip, 2 months, something. I was wanting to drink that whole trip, and we weren't hitting meetings. And I mean, we talked about it, and I told Patrick, like, I want to be sober the rest of my life, but I wasn't doing what I had to do. So yeah. I came back from the trip, and I had a girlfriend. We were on the rocks. My grandma was dying. I had this thing in my head, like, I'm in control of my own life. It is not for me. And I went to like Patrick's parents and told them, like, I'm in control of my own life, no one else. And it sounded wrong as I was saying it.
Yeah,
because I see things differently now. But it was just party time after that for 5 years.
So what was the first drink?
So my big dream was to just chill out and have a 6-pack with my girlfriend. And there was also Four Loko. She always liked to get Four Loko or do two of them, and we call it getting 8 Loko. And I had never tried this mysterious drink before, so. So I bought one of those, and it's really, really disgusting. So I didn't.
It's like the worst drink on the planet.
So yeah. you can imagine. I'm like pent up. I'm like, I'm gonna drink this whole drink, but it was so disgusting. I didn't even like finish the drink.
How is it feeling having that alcohol feeling back in your blood after that long?
Oh, the blood.
I don't know. I mean, you know, yeah, that gets so literal, but yeah, back in your system.
Yeah, that part was good. Like I feel carefree immediately. You know, once it hits the lips.
Yeah,
but there was a lot of shame involved because I had to hide it from Patrick and my brother and my grandma. I had to do it in secret. So
you didn't have to. You felt like you needed to. That's yes. Had to different than
yes.
Than.
One
thing I will say is once Brandon, it was literally within like a month of us coming back from like a 2-month road trip across America, and I said, Brandon, if you were going to relapse, couldn't you have relapsed on the trip? We're in fucking Nashville on Beals, or we're in fucking all over America,
yeah,
going to nightclubs yeah. every night. Like, we could have fucking had some fun. You know what I mean?
Hindsight is 20/20.
Yeah, well, we had a great time on that trip. But it probably kept us out of trouble.
You would have been taking care of me the whole time.
Yeah, that's true. So then you were to get back to it. You said for 5 years you were on, right? Or how many years were you now drinking?
Yeah, 5 years party time. That's around the time. I mean, that was 2011. me and Brian King got very close, bonded over alcohol, and Patrick was soon on his Cavoodle tour. So it was like a party vibe, and I started just making crazy videos on YouTube, and Brandon K videos.
Give him a plug. How do you find it?
YouTube.com/BrandonKVideos. Those videos are all of me, and I've had a couple, and in the near future, I want to add new perspective to that channel.
Oh, that's a great idea, my man.
Adam, you gotta check these out. They're gems. And they document a lot of our stuff that we did.
Love it. Brandon, when you started drinking, you talk about that. You talk about that shame. Do you think that's because, you know, in AA they talk about you're drinking with a head full of AA?
Yeah. I can't explain to you why I was so shameful about the drinking. I felt like I had created a sober persona and everyone was proud of me. And then I was like taking it away from them or something.
Sure.
So, and then now you're back in AA, right, Brandon?
Yes.
What was that relation? What was that perspective? And that, you know, how many sticky situations, how many security escorts did it take?
Whew. Hard to say. I was on a mad tear. So 5 years.
Now, when you say mad tear, every time that we've hung out together, whether you're sober or not sober, you seem like a really quiet, put together guy. At least when you're hanging out with me. So when you're talking about mad tears, what exactly are you doing?
Yeah, you and I only hung out twice during my drinking career.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I'm going to start saying appropriate things to people. A lot of people have seen my junk. A lot of people could identify my junk in a lineup.
It's huge.
and definitely getting escorted out of places, making bad decisions, and then eventually just losing my mind where I just wasn't there anymore, which is I hit an emotional mental bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was it like going back to your second AA meeting?
So, great question.
So at this point, I was not even in my right mind. I couldn't even tell you how it was.
So were you still drunk going to that first meeting?
I was having consistent like psychotic episodes. So
sure.
I'm basically disassociating, and I remember a friend of mine now, like he just came over and gave me a big hug, like he could like feel my pain. But
well, one thing that's interesting with like AA, when we were all there together in meetings, is like they would be like, you know, if you leave, you're going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's in a body bag or if it's on a pink.
Yeah, coat. They always say it like the worst way possible. Well, hey there, kid. If you're going to drink again, you're going to come back here in a body bag.
It's true.
Like, fuck, man.
Yeah. Adam would speak his mind at the meetings. So he would therefore become a target. And I remember like, that scares the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, can you go into that? Like, because when I was going to the meetings, I really didn't know what was going on. What was it like going to a meeting with me?
Like you appeared to want it very badly. You would like give me advice, like, hey man, we gotta like stay in the middle of the pack. We gotta like get attached to this thing, and.
Well, yeah, man, if you're going to do something, you do it all the way, right? That's the way that I approach drinking.
Yeah. 100 days, right? Or what is it, 90 day?
Sure. Yeah, but you know, even, you know, I was in my own journey fighting that. Like I just wanted to sit in the back of the class and not do anything. But, and you run across these people who don't respect you. Fundamentally, they don't respect you if they're saying – if they're telling you how to live your life, it's like, So AA is a great program, and it's about, you know, the people you find in it and, you know, sticking with the winners. And those winners would be ones that understand and are, and, you know, if a friend of mine relapses, you know, I'm just like, hey, I'm your friend no matter what, man. Like, I'm always here for you. I'm not going to like contribute to your addiction, but like, I got your back if you want to hit a meeting or something.
So Brandon, what was your family reaction to when your family knows you're in AA? How does it feel when you tell, like, your friends, or your, have you lost all your friends, or do you have your friends or your family? Like, what has there been their, you know, what do they tell you?
On which side? I'm sorry. So
what's your family family relationship with AA? So, you know, my parents, they're very supportive. They're in AA.
Yeah.
Like, you have your dad. How does I have
a handful of family members who don't approve of me going to AA. They think it's a waste of time.
Let's talk about that.
I mean, for starters,
they're never going to listen to this. So let's go ahead and get that deep.
For starters, my deceased grandma, who I was living with, like, she just thought it was a big waste of time, and that I should be, you know, go get a job. And
well, how are you supposed to get a job if you drinking all the time?
I know. The perception of people towards addiction is so backwards that people don't understand what addiction is. Even they're like, "Oh, just stop putting drugs up your nose."
It's like, no, that's not how it works.
Yeah, stop drinking. Or everybody would say, "Oh, you could have a couple. Just have a couple. Like, just do like I do and have a couple." And it's like, I can't. If I could, I would. I tried.
Yeah.
So that's like people not supporting you and not encouraging you is they're just pushing their agenda.
So besides your dead grandma, is there anybody else you can talk about?
I have a big resentment towards my dead grandma.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke.
Okay.
No, I forgive. You're forgiven. You're forgiven, Gramsci.
Coming in hot.
How about your
dead
dad?
Grandma.
How's your relationship
with
your dad?
My dad doesn't approve of therapy or AA. And you know, deep down, it's you know, it's because he doesn't want to change, you know, his behaviors. So
how about your mom?
My mom, she's whatever. She doesn't care. Well, she saw me bully Adrian one time and said it was alarming. I kind of kept her from seeing it. And I would also say that I went to all these people and made amends, and they were supportive and like proud that I turned things around.
Yeah.
And my brother was like this always makes me cry, but like my brother, I was just like I apologize for everything in my life. I'm sorry I did this and that. And he just said, you know, it's water under the bridge. Your amends to me is just don't drink anymore. So it was like very important to him that like he just didn't have to see me like that anymore.
Alan will listen to this.
Yeah.
He does listen. He cares. I don't even know if your dad knows how. I don't think your grandma knows how to work an iPod from heaven.
She's looking down on me now.
Oh shit! Is that a sound effect?
I just had a bell a desk bell delivered to me for my other podcast, so I thought I would use it there.
Oh, perfect! Thank you. Brandon Kling, what would you tell your 22-year-old self about AA?
About AA, I would say even if you want to go get drunk, you know, don't hide it from everybody. Be honest and open with everybody and like work those steps and continue to improve on yourself, regardless of whether you're sober or not. And that's what they say at the end of every meeting is just keep coming back. Just like,
yeah,
keep working those steps. Cause like, it's not going to hurt you. There's nothing about them that's going to hurt you. So,
Adam, what do you think about, what would you tell your 22-year-old about AA?
What I would say is, you know, everything works for everyone. Everything works differently for everyone. At the time, it was definitely needed. It happened when I was definitely looking to get myself back on track and looking to get into another job. It's necessary. If it's necessary, do it. Keep an open mind. Just don't drink.
Yeah.
just don't drink so much that you need to fucking go to AA.
Yeah, that's the rub.
Yeah.
And
what
for
about
me,
you, Patrick? What about you?
I'm perfect, so I don't need to, no. I'd say to Patrick, 22-year-old self who just started drinking, and the 22-year-old is to be safe about drinking. Don't drink to emotionally affect yourself. All I hear is Brendan's heavy breathing. I'm sorry. And jeez. And to know that AA is available if you ever need help, and to always be supportive of friends no matter what their decisions are in regards
yes.
to drinking, as long as they're keeping themselves safe.
Yes. Amen.
All right. Well, Brandon K all day, where can they get a hold of you if they'd like to follow you?
I will say that every day I put out a show on Instagram. So go onto your Instagram and type in Brandon K all day and watch my feed. It's very funny. I put a lot of effort into it.
I love that sound. You know, just because of that selling point, I'm going to start watching. I'm sorry I haven't been watching Brandon, but just because of that selling that he just did, I'm on board. I'm on board now.
And there's more to come from me, but that's all I got for now.
Excellent. Adam, where can they get hold of you?
YouTube is the best place. Adam Rotella. Twitter, I'm very active. And yeah. That's good. How about you, Patrick?
Cool. I'm IPATSK. I copy Brandon's show, and I just do my own show.
It's great, too.
Yeah. And we also are on the Instagram and at What I Would Tell, and we're on Twitter, just the podcast in general. We're kind of in a bloom where we're figuring it out. We're getting more active on social media. So when we start talking about different things, we're going to have pictures that involve that. And we're getting good. We're getting good. We're getting better.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. This has been Patrick Klang.
This has been Adam Rotella.
And Brandon.
Thanks for having me. Sorry about the breathing and the awkward pauses.
All right. Bye.
Thank you, Brandon. I will see you in Vegas, my man.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye.